Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqin wa la udwana illa 'alal zalimin. And the end result of all affairs is for the people of taqwa. And there is no animosity from a Muslim except against the transgressors, the transgressors. وَصَلَاتُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. And may Allah raise the rank of the best of His entire creation, نَبِيَّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Our Prophet Muhammad, and may He raise the rank of that of His family and companions, and may He grant them all peace entirely. Alhamdulillah, we are back at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal, the first Muslim mosque of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on this evening, the evening of the 26th, is that right? The 26th of Rabi al-Awwal, na'am. The evening preceding the 26th of Rabi al-Awwal, the year 1436, to study the final remaining verses from Surat al-Qamar, from the tafsir of the great scholar, the Shaykh, the Allama, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, from his printed and widely available tafsir, that which is a transcription of his live lessons that he gave over many years. And so we're looking at the 51st verses, the 51st through the end, the 51st verse all the way to the end of Surah Al-Qamar, insha'Allah ta'ala. And that is broadcast, recorded on the excellent radio station, Miraf Radio. May Allah Ta'ala bless its founders and maintainers and all of those who take part in it and all of those who listen. It's broadcast there exclusively, insha'Allah Ta'ala. And my greetings go to all of our listeners on Miraf Radio, especially the students I left behind in the city of Jeddah. I miss you all, and I wish that we could come back together somehow, but perhaps we will one day. We begin here with the tafsir of the 51st verse, the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا أَشْيَاعَكُمْ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. And verily we have destroyed, we have done away with in the past your likeness, those who resembled you. And this is an address to the polytheists of Mecca. So, is there anyone who seeks to be reminded? Al-Khitabu li-Kuffari Quraysh. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen says what? This address is to the disbelievers of Quraysh, the Quraysh tribe. وَقَوْلُهُ أَشْيَاعَكُمْ أَيْ أَشْبَاهَكُمْ. أَشْيَاعَكُمْ, your similitudes or your likenesses, that means أَشْبَاهَكُمْ مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ السَّابِقِينَ, of the disbelievers of old. وَقَدْ قَصَّ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ. And Allah has mentioned the stories. Allah the Exalted and Most High has mentioned the stories in this surah, in this chapter of the Qur'an. مِنْ نَبَئِهِمْ مَا فِيهِ عِبْرَةٌ وَعِظَةٌ. That which is in their stories, or in their reports, an admonition and a lesson for us. قَصَّ عَلَيْنَا مَا حَصَلَ لِقَوْمِ نُوحٍ. Allah has mentioned the story of what happened with the people of Noah. وَمَا حَصَلَ لِعَادٍ, and the civilization of Ad. وَلِثَمُودٍ, and as well of Thamud. وَلِقَوْمِ لُوطٍ, and the people of Lot. وَلِآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ, and for the, and the reports about the followers of Fir'aun, and the family of Fir'aun, and the people, and troops of Fir'aun. وَفِي هَذَا مُدَّكَرٌ لِمَنْ أَرَادَ الْإِدْتِكَارِ. And for this is a reminder for those who wish to be reminded. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. And this is why Allah says, then is there any مُدَّكِر. Remember, مُدَّكِر comes from مُتَذَكِّر. مُتَذَكِّر from ذَكَرَ. Right? Or مُذْتَكِر. And the ذَال here is pushed into the تَاء, and the dal and the ta become a dal. Muddakir, the one who remembers, the one who is reminded. يعني هل من متعظ ومعتبر بما جرى على السابقين؟ Meaning, is there someone who could take admonishment and learn a lesson from what has happened to the previous people? And يَجْرِيَ عَلَى اللَّاحِقِينَ, that it might come upon those who are the latecomers, meaning the later generations. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, because Allah, the glorified and most high, لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ عِبَادِهِ مُحَابَاتٍ, there is no favoritism in how he deals with his creation, with his servants. أو نسب, or lineage of benefit. No lineage that Allah Ta'ala prefers this lineage over that lineage. بَلْ أَكْرَمُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاهُمْ لَهُ, rather, the one which is most noble with Allah, most honored with Allah, is the one of them which is most pious, or those of them who are most pious to him. مِنْ أَيِّ جِنْسٍ كَانْ, from whatever type of person that is. وَفِي أَيِّ مَكَانٍ كَانْ, in whatever place that he is. وَفِي أَيِّ زَمَانٍ كَانْ, in whatever time period he lived in. كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, just as Allah, the Blessed and Most High, has said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. O mankind, we have created you from a male and a female, and we have made you tribes, we have made you into groups and tribes, or families and tribes, so that you could know each other. جزاك الله خيرا. الله يحفظكم. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, verily the most noble of you with Allah is the one of you, or those of you with the most piety. And that's from Surah Al-Hujurat, the 13th verse. ثُمَّ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, going back to our surah, Surah Al-Qamar, then Allah the Mighty and Majestic says, وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ فَعَلُوهُ فِي الزُّبُرِ, and everything they have done it is in the Az-Zubur, the books, the previous books. كُلٌ مُبْتَدَى, the word كُل is مُبْتَدَى, it is the beginning of the sentence, or the subject of a nominal sentence. Huh? Verse number 52, near the end of Surah Al-Qamar. Yeah? كُل, the word كُل, everything, the word everything here, is مُبْتَدَى. مُبْتَدَى means the subject of a nominal sentence. In Arabic, we have two types of sentences. We have a nominal sentence and a verbal sentence. They call them jumla ismiya and jumla fi'liya. So the jumla ismiya, its basic components are mubtada and what? Khabar. Mubtada and khabar. Subject and predicate. Basically, it matches up pretty well to the English subject and predicate. You have a mubtada, that which you are speaking about, the subject of your sentence. Then you have the khabar that gives you information about that mubtada, about that central theme of the sentence or that subject of the sentence. The word mubtada literally means the beginning part, which matches the way they talk about grammar to first graders in English. They call, instead of calling the sentences subject and predicate, it's too high up for first graders. They teach them the naming part and the telling part. The naming part, you name something and then you talk about it. The cat is sleeping. So, name something, a cat. Talk about it, it's sleeping. That's a subject and a predicate in first grade language. That resembles the Arabic terminology used more than the higher English terminology. It resembles the mubtada, the starting part, and the khabar, the telling part. Right? That's in a nominal sentence. Right? That's a nominal sentence. That means a sentence that has as its subject a noun. Nominal has to do with nouns. Right? Then you have verbal sentences that begin with verbs. جَاءَ وَقَاعَدَ وَجَلَسَ وَرَاحَ. Verbs. When you begin the sentence with a verb, then we have two essential components of a verbal sentence. It's a فِعْل, verb, and a فَاعِل, and the doer of the verb. Now, it doesn't match up to English grammar, because in English grammar we always have a subject and a predicate. Whether it's an action, whether the predicate is an action or not, there's always a subject and a predicate. So in Arabic, there are two main breakdowns of a sentence. You either break it down as a nominal sentence, a mubtada and a khabar, or you break it down as a jumla fi'liya, a verbal sentence, and you have a fi'l and a fa'il. Those are the main components, and of course there would be other words that would make their way into these sentences, but these are the main essential components of what are called jumal mufida, or complete sentences in the Arabic language. Tayyib, so he says here, kullu mubtada. That's the subject of the sentence. Kullu shay'in. Fi zubur khabaruhu. Everything is in the zubur, right? وَلَيْسَ هَذَا مِنْ بَابَ الْإِشْتِغَالِ. Now there's something called إِشْتِغَالِ. We're going to skip that because it's an advanced Arabic term, and we're not going to be able to understand that in this kind of lesson in English. That's for Arabic lessons where we would be in the advanced stage there. بَلْ هُوَ خَبَرٌ بَحْضٌ. It's a pure khabar. Just simple, it's a predicate. It talks about كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ فِي الزُّبُرٍ. Right? لِأَنَّهُ لَا يُمْكِنُ أَن تَكُونَ مَفْعُولًا لِفَعَلُوهُ. Because you can't say فَعَلُوهُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. فَعَلُوا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. No, it doesn't work like that in Arabic. Right? بَلْ هِيَ مُبْتَدَى. Rather, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ is the مُبْتَدَى. فِي الزُّبُرِ أي فِي الْكُتُبِ. The meaning of فِي الزُّبُرِ is in the books. In the books. فِي الزُّبُرِ فِي الْكُتُبِ. وَكِتَابَةُ الْأَعْمَالِ كِتَابَةٌ سَابِقَةٌ. And the writing of someone's deeds is an old writing. It is a writing that existed or was done before the actions were performed, the writing of our deeds, meaning the pre-writing or the destiny of what we were going to do. وَكِتَابَةٌ لَاحِقَةٌ. And there's also a writing of our deeds that is after the fact or post-action. We'll talk about that here in detail. وَالْكِتَابَةُ السَّابِقَةٌ. The first previous writing of our deeds. كِتَابَةٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ هَذَا سَيَفْعَلُ هَذَا وَكَذَا. It's the writing that this person will do that thing before it takes place. Right? فَإِذَا فَعَلَ الْإِنسَانُ حَسَنَةً. عفوان. Where is it? وَهَذِهِ الْكِتَابَةُ لَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهَا ثَوَابٌ وَلَا عِقَابٌ. And this writing is not connected in any way to reward or punishment. This is the decree of Allah that it's going to happen. And Allah has written it before it's placed. So this writing has nothing to do with reward or punishment. It is the matter of decree or the qadr. لِأَنَّ الْمَرْأَ لَمْ يُكَلَّفْ بِهَا بَعْدُ. Because the person hasn't been made responsible to do them yet at this stage. It's only the writing of the deed before even the servant exists. وَكِتَابَةٌ لَاحِقَةٌ وَهِيَ كِتَابَةٌ أَنَّهُ فَعَلَ. And then there's the second post-writing, which happens after the deed happens, when the deed takes place. Right? فَإِذَا فَعَلَ الْإِنسَانُ حَسَنَةً كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ. Then if a person does a good deed now, then Allah writes it down. This is the writing of post-deed writing. وَإِذَا فَعَلَ سَيِّئَةً كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ. And if a person does an evil deed, then Allah Ta'ala writes it down. وَهَذِهِ الْكِتَابَةُ لَاحِقَةً. This post-writing, or after-the-fact writing, هِيَ الَّتِي يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهَا ثَوَابُ وَالْإِقَابُ. It is the one that is connected to rewards and punishment. The second writing, the writing of the deed after its occurrence. That's the one that's connected to rewards and punishments. بِمَا قَرَرْنَاهُ وَبِمَا قَرَرْنَاهُ يَزُولُ الْإِشْكَالِ. And with this understanding that we have established here, then the misunderstanding would be dispelled. عند بعض الناس, the one that some people have, في قول الله تبارك وتعالى, as it relates to the statement of Allah, the Blessed and Most High, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ حَتَّى نَعْلَمَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنْكُمْ الصَّابِرِينَ وَنَبْلُوَ أَخْبَارَكُمْ. And we're going to put you to test, so that we would know who are the mujahideen, who are the people of jihad, those of struggle, those of perseverance, of you, and who are the sabirin, who are those of patience and endurance. وَنَبَلُوَ أَخْبَارَكُمْ. And we'll put the reports of what you've done to the test. فَإِنَّ بَعْضَ النَّاسِ قَدْ يُشْكِلُ عَلَيْهِ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. Some people could have a misunderstanding or difficulty in understanding this verse. كَيْفَ يَقُولُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حَتَّى نَعْلَمَ. How is it that Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, says that until or so as Allah could know what you do. Allah is looking at your deeds, so He would know, right?
وَهُوَ قَدْ عَلِمْ, and he is one who knows everything before it takes place. فَيُقَالْ, so it can be said, حَتَّى نَعْلَمَ, the phrase, until we know, or so we would know, يَعْنِي الْعِلْمَ الَّذِي يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهِ الثَّوَابِ, the kind of the knowledge that is related to that second writing of the deed that is connected to reward and punishment. وَأَمَّا عِلْمُ اللَّهِ السَّابِقِ, as for Allah's pre-knowledge, or knowledge of matters before they occurred, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهِ ثَوَابُ وَلَا الْعِقَابُ, there is no connection to that earlier writing of to rewards or punishments. وَالْكِتَابَةُ السَّابِقَةُ مَعْنَاهَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى كَتَبَ فِي اللَّوْهِ الْمَحْفُوظِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, and the previous or earlier writing, the meaning of that is that Allah, the glorified and most high, he wrote those things down in Allawh al-Mahfuz, which can be translated as the preserved tablet. He wrote every single thing down in Allawh al-Mahfuz. كَمَا جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الصَّحِيحِ, as has come in the authentic hadith, أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَّا خَلَقَ الْقَلَمَ قَالَ لَهُ اكْتُبْ, when Allah created the pen, he said to that pen, اكْتُبْ, write. قَالَ رَبِّي وَمَاذَا أَكْتُبُ, and the pen said, oh my Lord, what do I write? قَالَ اُكْتُبْ مَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, he said, write everything that's going to happen until the day of judgment. فَجَرَى فِي تِلْكَ السَّاعَةِ مَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, and at that time, everything that is going to happen until the day of judgment was, it went, it took place, or it was written, the writing of it took place. The hadith was collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Jami', that which you hear being called Sunan al-Tirmidhi.
This writing that you, it was beforehand, this is what was written down in the Mahfuz.
Aywa. The writing that's beforehand was the writing in Allawh al-Mahfuz.
In this post-deed.
We're going to talk more about the Kitaba Lahiqa. We're going to talk more. Meaning, we're going to read from the words of the Shaykh more information about the post-deed writing. So it's coming, inshallah. Aisa, you have an issue? I don't believe this hadith is in Bukhari or Muslim. No. Allah knows best. فَمَا أَصَابَ الْإِنسَانُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئُهُ, as it relates to this pre-qadr, this qadr that happens, or the qadr that was written before it takes place, then nothing that was written is going to miss a person. Nothing that was written for him to go through will be missed. وَمَا أَخْطَأَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبُهُ, and then whatever passed him by was never going to involve him. Right? نُؤْمِنُ بِهَذَا, we believe in that. And as a to pause for a moment here and add clarity to that, a number of the Sahaba would be asked about the issue of Al-Qadr, details about it, because it is, in terms of our logic, it is a confusing issue. And they would say, Sirrullahi fi kawnihi, this is the secret wisdom of Allah in how He manages His creation, leave it alone. Right? And it's an issue that our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that we will be upon khair so long as we leave off discussions about qadr, the detailed matters of qadr, right? Allah Ta'ala knows best. So we don't want to go too far into al-qadr before we turn into those people who say, من خلق هذا ومن خلق هذا, who created this and who created that, and then they end up saying what? And who created Allah. So, لا إله إلا الله, before the shaytan takes us down paths that we are logically or with our human intellects unprepared to go into, then we say, yakfi, it's sufficient for us what Allah has affirmed for us. It's sufficient for us to know that Allah has planned out everything that has happened, and to say that we do not believe anything could ever happen that is a surprise or that is against what Allah has made as His qadr, that nothing could be outside of the ilm of Allah, the knowledge of Allah. It is all-inclusive, it is all-exhaustive, it is not missing anything, which is what a person says when they essentially, the Qadariyya, they say, how could Allah, they say how, look at right away, kayf, takyif, how could Allah know about silly actions of children and every little insignificant thing in the creation. Isn't that beyond Allah, Rabbul Alameen? You know, they rationalize. And they say, isn't Allah's, you know, his station, and isn't Allah in what he has done, isn't he far beyond having knowledge of these insignificant things? Right? And they might even compare Allah to the creation and say, we say about people who know little insignificant matters that they are busy with foolish things. Right? That's as it relates to the human beings. Trivia. You know? Trivia. Because the human mind is limited. And so when you see a human being attaching himself to trivial information in great detail, then you know he's left out priorities, and you know that there are major things that will benefit him that he's abandoning. And so you know he's deficient. But we're talking about Allah Azza wa Jal, we're not talking about a human intellect here. Right? So for Allah to know every single thing is a praiseworthy attribute, even down to the littlest, the smallest branch or twig or leaf and where it falls, how it falls, where it lands, and how it lands. Allah Ta'ala knew all of that before he created the creation. If we think of Allah as a human being, then that becomes a blameworthy thing. If we think of Allah Azza wa Jal as the Lord and Creator who is not comparable to his creation, then we are safe. And we affirm for Allah what he has affirmed for himself without thinking in any negative or unbefitting way for a believer. So whatever happens to a person, it would never have missed him, and whatever has passed him by, he would never have been involved in that thing. قال الله تعالى Allah the Most High has said أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Don't you know that Allah knows all that is in the heavens and on earth? إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ. And that is in a book. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. That is something that is easy for Allah. That's the 70th verse of Surah Al-Hajj. وَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ And Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكِرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. And we have written in the Zabur, after the dhikr, أَنَّ الْأَرْضِ, that the earth shall be inherited by our righteous servants. And that is the 105th verse of Surah Al-Anbiya. Now al-dhikr, I mentioned here al-zabur and al-dhikr. Al-zabur was the book given to Dawood, alayhi salatu wassalam. And I appreciate the commenter in our classes who said that I mentioned the prophets and messengers and I don't say alayhi salam or alayhi salatu wassalam much. Jazakumullah khairan. While we understand that not to be an obligation like it is for our prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is from the manners of the ulama and the best way of talking if you mention a prophet or a messenger, that you say at least alayhi salam. And any type of dua or praise along with the name of a prophet is from the manners of Islam. Wasalamun ala al-mursaleen, as Allah says, right? And salam is upon the mursaleen, the sent, the dispatched messengers. But the scholars say it's not obligatory, meaning there's no blame on a person who says, the Prophet Isa said this, or the Prophet Isa did this, without saying alayhi salam. Right? As there is no obligation on us. Yet, from the manners of people who carry knowledge, is that they should be the foremost in saying alayhi salam, or alayhi salatu wassalam, and so on. So the comment was highly appreciated. Jazakumullahu khairan. And I only highlight that it's not obligatory, just so we know the ruling on that. Not that I'm trying to avoid any blame or something, but so that we know that on ourselves. It's an obligation to send salat and salam on the messenger because we have a text. We can't say things are obligations without texts. So, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. O you who believe, in it, or verily Allah and His Messenger, they send salat on the Nabi, on the Prophet. So, O you who believe, send salat and salam on him in a complete way. Send salat on him and salam as well, a complete total salam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِالْبَخِيلِ. Should I not tell you who the stingy one is? They said, yes, of course, Ya Rasulullah. He said, الْبَخِيلُ مَنْ ذُكِرْتُ إِنْدُهُ فَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيَّ. the stingy one, is the one who I've been mentioned in his presence and he doesn't send salah on me. Which lets you know that it's not appropriate, it's not fulfilling the order of Allah or his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for you to say alayhi salam. Or in English, peace be upon him. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We're missing something here. Sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. You have two obligations at the time of the mention of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What? Sending salat and sending salam. Right? There are two obligations. The salat is asking Allah to raise his mention, asking Allah to mention him in the highest of mention. And then salam is peace and safety and not being harmed and not being and not facing any difficulty. Tayyib, that's the meaning of salat and salam. I apologize for that. Istitrad. Tayyib. So here, Allah, I mentioned, there are two books mentioned in the verse from Surah Al-Anbiya, Az-Zabur and Az-Zikr. What is Az-Zikr here? The Zabur is after the Dhikr. So if you say the Quran here, it doesn't work. Dhikr is a remembrance linguistically. The Tawrat. Some of the scholars said it's the Tawrat. It is the book of Musa. So the Zabur, the book of Dawood, came after a Dhikr. Other scholars have said it's the Kitab, Ummul Kitab indallah. The writing with Allah Azza wa Jal, which would be understood as the writing in a Lawh al-Mahfuz. And it seems like the majority of the scholars of tafsir said that, and a small group of them said that it is the Torah. And Allah Ta'ala knows best, a dhikr, what a dhikr is in that verse. But Allah has written in the Zabur, after the dhikr, that the earth shall be inherited by my righteous servants. أَمَّا الْكِتَابَةُ اللَّاحِقَةُ And those were proofs for what? The writing, that Allah has written things down. And Allah has, whenever Allah orders something to be done, He is described with that action. Whenever Allah orders something to be done, He is described with that action. As a basic principle in the Arabic language, الْآمِرُ بِالشَّيْءِ يُنْسَبْ إِلَيْهِ الْفِعْلِ The one who orders an action with authority, then the action is attributed to him. So if you visit someone, and he has a servant give you a drink, you can say, regard if the guy's name is Muhammad, whose house you visited, you can say, Muhammad served me the best drink. Even though Muhammad himself didn't bring the cup to you and give it to you, he had a servant do it. Or his son, or a helper, right? But we say that the one who ordered it to be done under to those under his authority, then he's the one who's credited with the action. Who gathered the Qur'an into one mushaf after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Zayd ibn Thabit. Tayyib, who gets credit for it in the books of history? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. One of the ways that you praise Abu Bakr as-Siddiq as in history, as all throughout history, the scholars have praised him by saying, أَوَّلُ مَنْ جَمَعَ الْقُرْآنِ The first one to gather the Qur'an into one mushaf. But he ordered Zayd ibn Thabit to sit in the masjid and to collect the pages that were written and the recitation that people could cite and to gather all of that into one complete mushaf. Tayyib. But so we say Abu Bakr gathered the Qur'an. He didn't do it himself, but rather it was under his khilafah. Zayd ibn Thabit was the one who did the what do you call it, footwork or the work. He's the one who did the actual gathering. Tayyib. Now, Saqiya al-qawm akhiruhum shurban. In the hadith, walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. In the hadith, the one who provides drink to the people, he's the last one to drink. Right? So he can be the last one to drink, meaning after his own servants as well. Right? He's the one serving the drinks, he's the one who bought them, he's the one who's providing them, he's the one ordering them to be passed out. So then even after his servants drink, he's the last one to drink. Huh? And Allah Ta'ala knows best. Anyway. أَمَّا الْكِتَابَةُ لَاحِقَةُ فهي أن الله سبحانه وتعالى إذا عمل الإنسان عملا كتبه. As for the post-writing, post-deed writing, then that is when Allah, the glorified and most high, writes down the deed of a servant after, or the deed of a person after he does it. قال الله تعالى كلا بل تكذبون بالدين Nay, you are disbelieving in the recompense. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ And while there are preservers over you, preservers, حَافِظِينَ, those who preserve, or record. Here, writers. Writers who record, huh? As explained by Allah, kiraman, katibin. Noble, these are angels, noble, and katibin, those who write. Katibin, katibin, plural of katib. So, we can say here, Allah writes your good deeds, and we can say, the angels write the good deeds. How can we say that? Go back to the principle I just mentioned to you. Who ordered the angels to write? It's Allah. So we say Allah writes the good deeds down, Allah writes the bad deeds down, meaning He has ordered the angels to write the deeds down. There's no problem in saying Allah writes the deeds, there's no problem in saying the angels write the deeds, right? These are the deeds that are done, and now they're connected to reward and punishment. As well, Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ. When we read the Qur'an to you, O Muhammad, then follow its recitation. Did Allah read the Qur'an to the Prophet Muhammad? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, Jibreel was sent with the Qur'an to the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tayyib, so how can we say, how does... Tayyib, so when Jibreel is reading the Qur'an to you, then follow its recitation. But Allah says, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ. If we read it to you. Al-Amir, the one who orders Jibreel to read. He's also ascribed with reading the Qur'an to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from this, the scholars say, from the actions of Allah that they affirm by textual evidence, they don't speak about qira'ah, reading for Allah. They say Allah descends, Allah makes istiwa, Allah made istiwa over the throne, Allah, forgives, Allah accepts the sadaqah, Allah this and that, based on the textual evidence, but they don't say Allah reads, yaqra. They say Allah sent Jibreel, who heard the Qur'an from Allah, and Jibreel read the Qur'an to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because the reading of the Qur'an that Allah has ascribed to Himself, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ, it's the reading of Jibreel, as we know, historically, by facts, that who was reading to the Messenger of Allah? It was Jibreel. So when Allah refers to Himself, reading to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is by His order. It's by His order, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. كرام كاتبين وهذه الكتابة هي التي يترتب عليها الثواب والعقاب. And this kitaba, this writing of the deeds after they are done, this is the one that is connected to the reward, the punishment. وكل شيء فعلوه في الزبر. And each and everything they have done is in the zubur, in the books. معنى الآية, then the meaning of the verse is أن كل شيء يفعله الإنسان فإنه مكتوب. Every single thing a person does, then it is written down. فَلَا تَذُنْ أَنَّهُ يَضِيعُ عَلَيْكَ شَيْءٌ أَبَدًا. Then do not assume that anything that you have done would ever be missed, or ever be left out. كَمَا قَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. As Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, has said, وَوُضِيَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ. And the book will be laid out. Right? And this is on the Day of Judgment. The book will be laid out. And then you will see the criminals being worried about what's in it. وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. And they will be saying, oh woe about this book. What is with this book? It doesn't leave out anything big or small except it's collected and enumerated there. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. And they will find all of the things that they did brought and made present. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And your Lord doesn't oppress anyone. Subhanallah. Glorified is Allah. بعد مئات السنين التي لا يعلمها إلا الله يجدونه حاضرا. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Glorified be Allah. After hundreds of years, meaning a person who died, hundreds and hundreds of years go by before he is brought forth and brought back to Allah. The deeds that only Allah even knows about, He finds them present, meaning in front of Him. لا يظلم ربك أحدا. And Allah doesn't oppress anyone. وكل صغير وكبير مستطر. Every little matter and large matter is written, has been penned, or it has been put on lines. كل صغير وكبير مما يحدث في هذا الكون من المخلوقات وأوصافها وأعمالها. Every single small thing and big thing from everything that happens in the creation. things related to the creation, the created beings, their descriptions, their actions. It's mustatar. It is put to lines, put on lines, meaning written. Ay musattar fil kitab al-aziz, meaning written in the noble book, Allah al-Mahfuz, in the preserved tablet. So you asked me about the pre-writing, and I said, yes, that's in Allah al-Mahfuz. Where is the writing of one deeds? As well in Allah al-Mahfuz. Now, kullu saghirin wa kabirin hatta shawka yushakuha al-insanu tuktab. Everything, large and small, even a tiny little thorn that a person is bothered by, like he steps on it and it poked him a little bit and he got some pain, that is something that is written. Every little thing is written down. And that comes from the hadith of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And hatta shawka yushakuha. Even the little tiny thorn that pokes him here and there, he gets a reward for it. Hatta ma yazinu mithqala dharratan min al-a'mali yuktabu. Even that which the writing of it or the value of it is the weight of an atom, or not an atom, but a tiny little grain. Right? It's all written. All of that is yuktab, written. Kullu saghirin wa kabir. Every small thing and every large thing. And you have in the end of Surah Al-Zalzala support for that, right? فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Whoever does the tiniest little particle's weight of khayr, he shall see it. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And whoever does the smallest little tiniest weight of evil, he shall see it. So ask Allah for safety. وَإِذَا آمَنْتَ بِذَٰلِكَ. If you believe this, if this is what you have believed, وَيَجِبُ عَلَيْكَ أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِهِ. And it's an obligation that you believe in this. فَإِنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْكَ الْحَذَرُ مِنْ الْمُخَالَفَةِ. Then it's a must that you be warned against violating the orders of Allah. فَإِيَّاكَ أَن تُخَالِفَ بِقَوْلِكَ أَوْ فِعْلِكَ أَوْ تَرْكِكَ. So be warned against opposing Allah with your statement, with your action, with your leaving off of something. لِأَنَّ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ مَكْتُوبٍ. Because every single thing is written down. قال الله عز وجل. Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. And there is not a statement that he utters, except with him is a raqib, someone who's watching over him, عَتِيدٌ, ready to write down, eager to write down that deed. نعم, that's from Surah Qaf. وَمَا يَفْحَلُ مَنْ يَفْحَلُ ذَلِكَ لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. And every single thing that a person does, then he knows that he has with him, you know, angels writing, angels watching and angels writing his deeds. لِأَنَّهُ إِذَا كَانَتْ الْأَقْوَالُ تُكْتَبُ. And now this, thinking about this last verse from Surah Qaf, if it is that every single statement is written down, because in that verse is a qawl, مَا يَلْفَظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ, just the mention of sayings and not actions. There's not a single thing does he utter except that it's written, except that there is a watcher and a person, an angel eager to write there. Then if that's the statement, if that's the ayah, and that's the ruling on statements, then what about actions? Huh? فَإِذَا كَانَتَ الْأَخْوَالُ تُكْتَبْ فَالْأَفْعَالُ مِنْ بَابٍ أَوْلَى. If the statement, every last statement is written, then actions are even easier to understand, or even more rightly so included in the meaning of that verse. فَعَلَيْكَ أَن تَتَّقِيَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So upon you is to fear Allah, to observe the limits of Allah, to be pious to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَلَا تُخَالِفَ اللَّهَ, and do not oppose Allah. إِذَا سَمِعْتَ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ خَبَرًا. If you hear that Allah has said a statement that gives you information, a story or a passage that provides information, فَقُلْ آمَنْتُ بِهِ وَصَدَّقْتُ. Then say, I have believed in it, and I affirm it. I believe it to be truthful. وَإِذَا سَمِعْتَ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ شَيْئًا أَمْرًا. If you heard Allah say something that is an order, فَقُلْ آمَنْتُ بِهِ سَمْعًا وَطَاعَةً. Then say, I believe in it with obedience, with hearing and obeying. That's an order. نَهْيًا آمَنْتُ بِهِ وَسَمْعًا وَطَاعَةً. And then if it's a prohibition, if you hear Allah saying a prohibition, then say, I believe in it and I hear and I obey. فَتْرُكَ الْمَنْهِ عَنْهُ. And then you abandon the thing that you are being prohibited from. وَفْعَلْ الْمَأْمُورَ بِهِ. And do that which you are being ordered to do. Then Allah goes on to say in the 54th verse, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ. Verily the pious, the people of taqwa, the pious people, those who observe the limits of Allah, they will be amongst, or in gardens and amongst rivers. In gardens and amongst rivers. هَذَا مُقَابِلُ قَوْلِهِ. This is in opposition or in contrast to his statement that has preceded 7 or 8 verses ago. إِنَّ الْمُجْرِمِينَ فِي ضَلَالٍ وَسُعُرٍ. Verily the criminals, they are in misguidance and flames. Flames of fire in the hereafter. Some of the scholars, as you remember, said misguidance in this life and flames in the next life. And some of the scholars said both are in the next life. They are misguided on the day of judgment. They have no idea where to go for salvation. And they will be in flames in the fire. We said su'r is an-naru shadidatu ta'ajjuj. The fire that has a very severe crackling or burning or raging. Hayyid. We ask Allah for safety from it. So here Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ. Verily the pious people will be in gardens, jannat, the plural of jannah, and nahar, right? Rivers. الْجَنَّاتُ جَمْعُ jannah. The word jannat is the plural of jannah. وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَصْنَافَهَا فِي سُورَةِ الرَّحْمَنِ فَقَالَ. And Allah, the Most High, has mentioned the different kinds of gardens in Surah Ar-Rahman. And by Allah's permission, Surah Ar-Rahman is next in line to be studied after this lesson. Alhamdulillah. We go right into Surah Ar-Rahman. A very beautiful surah. And he says here that in Surah Ar-Rahman is وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. And for the one who fears the standing, he fears, he's looking towards the standing in front of Allah, and he's afraid of that day, then he'll have jannatan. He'll have two gardens. Not just two gardens, because after a few verses of describing those two gardens, Allah says, وَمِن دُونِهِمَا jannatan. And then below those two gardens are two gardens. Below those two gardens are two other gardens. SubhanAllah. So, فَهِيَ إِذَنْ أَرْبَعٍ. So then there are four gardens for a person. ذَكَرَهَ اللَّهُ فِي سُورَةَ الرَّحْمَنِ. They have been mentioned by Allah in Surah Ar-Rahman. إِذَنْ فِي جَنَّاتٍ. Then the statement here, jannat, they're in gardens. يَعْنِي فِي هَذِهِ الْجَنَّاتِ الْأَرْبَعِ. In these four gardens. هَذِهِ الْأَصْنَافِ. And these kinds, لَكِنْ أَنْوَاءُهَا كَثِيرًا. These are four types, however, their various types or various kinds are many. وَالْجَنَّاتُ نُفَسِّرُهَا بِأَنَّهَا شَرْعًا. And the word jannat, gardens, we have to explain the meaning of that in this verse with a definition that corresponds to the text of the book of the sunnah as الدار التي أعدها الله للمتقين. The abode, not like a garden in this life, but the abode of the hereafter that Allah has prepared for the pious people. فِيهَا مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ. In it is what no eye has ever seen. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ. And no ear has ever listened to. وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. And has never, things that have never come across a human heart. Things that have never been imagined by a human heart. لَكِنْ عِنْدَمَا تَقْرَأُ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِنَّا بَلَوْنَاهُمْ كَمَا بَلَوْنَا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. Verily we put them to trial as we put to trial the people of the Jannah. That's in Surah Noon, right? That Jannah is a different kind of Jannah. نُفَسِّرُ الْجَنَّةَ بِأَنَّهَا الْبُسْتَانِ الْكَثِيرُ الْأَشْجَارِ. We explain that garden as a worldly garden that has lots of trees. That is, in fact, they say the word Jannah is different from hadiqa and rawda and these other words that are for garden, because the word jannah includes the idea of being surrounded and hidden by the trees or the shrubbery on the outside of it. Right? And from that you have jinn. Jinn, the whole meaning of janana, jinn, Noon has to do with being hidden. So the jinn are hidden from your sight. A junnah is a shield that you use in battle. Junnah. Wasomu junnah. Fasting is a junnah. It's a shield. So where are you when you have a shield up? You're hidden behind the shield. So a jannah is a garden with vegetation, with fruits and vegetables and things like that. That's a garden. And what makes it different from a normal hadiqa or a rawda is that it is hidden by the outer shrubbery or the outer trees. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. That's in the Arabic language. But remember, we're talking about the difference between the word jannah as the abode in the hereafter and the word jannah being used in the Quran to describe worldly gardens. And the statement of Allah, وَإِنْدَمَا تَقْرَأ and when you read كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا and the two gardens in Surah Al-Kahf, right, that have produced their vegetation, تُفَسِّرُ بِأَنَّهَا بُسْتَانٌ كَثِيرُ الْأَشْجَارِ. It is also explained as a garden that has many trees or shrubbery. لَكِنْ لَا تُفَسِّرْ جَنَّةَ النَّعِيمِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ بِهَذَا التَّفْسِيرِ. However, do not explain the Jannah of the joyous hereafter, of the reward of the hereafter, with this kind of explanation. Right? Why? نعم لأنك إذا فسرتها بهذا التفسير, because if you explained it in this way, قلت الرغبة فيها وحبطت عظمتها في قلوب الناس, then people will not long for it. People will not seek it out. And its honor or its distinction or its status will become lower in the hearts of the people. If you say it's a garden like the gardens of this life. And the paradise is just gardens, like, you know. Exactly. All the negative things you think about as well, you'll begin to think negatively or not be ambitious to work for the paradise if you compare it only to worldly gardens. لكن قول, however, this is how you talk about the word Jannah or Jannat. In the hereafter, هي الدار التي أعدها الله لأوليائه. It is the abode that Allah has prepared for His awliya. Who are the awliya, Isa? His helpers? Righteous servants, the righteous, the plural of wali, the wali of Allah. All right, being a wali of Allah means what? Not that you've sat in some deviant Sufi circle making chants or something, but rather you've performed your obligations. And you've gone beyond that and you performed established sunnahs, optional deeds that have drawn you closer to Allah. Then you are a wali from the awliya. فَكُلُّ مُسْلِمٍ فَكُلُّ مُؤْمِنٍ تَقِيٍّ فَهُوَ وَلِي. Every believer who does righteous deeds, he is a wali. Alright? Wali. So you could say a righteous ally. You can use the word ally. An ally of Allah. He has an allegiance with Allah. Whatever Allah orders, he does it. And Allah has an allegiance with him because he announces that he loves him in the heavens to Jibreel. And Jibreel announces to the heavens by name that Allah loves so-and-so. So love him. Right? So that is an allegiance to Allah and allegiance from Allah as well. That's the meaning of wilaya, or I'm sorry, walaya, with a fatha on the waw. Walaya. Being a wali. Waliship. Right? And it's not the Sufi terminology where they say about whoever they wish that he's a wali. And it's a person who doesn't even offer acts of worship. And you can review the recordings done recently in Usul al-Sitta. Right? The six principles. One of them was related to the wali and what a wali is. Very, very important discussion on what the wali actually is according to the text of the book and the sunnah. Oh, yeah. So, again, the abode of the hereafter that Allah has prepared for His awliya, right? For His though his allies, his righteous servants and allies, فيها ما لا عين رأت, there is in it, within it, something or things that no eye has seen, ولا أذن سمعت, and no ear has heard of, ولا خطر على قلب بشر, and things that have never been imagined by a human heart, أنها خير البشر, the residents of which are the best of the human beings, النبيون والصديقون والشهداء. They are prophets, devoutly honest people, or believing and honest people. They are martyrs and righteous people. حَتَّى تَحْفِزَ النُّفُوسَ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ لَهَا. And with this description you hear, when you hear the prophets will be there and the righteous and the martyrs and so on, that every single person will want what no human heart has ever imagined. Not just simply a garden with trees, but what no human heart has ever imagined, what no eye has ever seen, and what no ear has ever heard. May Allah make us from those who inherit it. وَحَتَّى لَا يَتَصَوَّرُ الْجَاهِلُ أَنَّمَا فِيهَا كَأَمْثَالِ مَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. So the ignorant person doesn't assume that the things mentioned in the hereafter, in the paradise, in the gardens of paradise, are like the things in this world. وَقَوْلُهُ وَنَهَرُ. And the statement of Allah, and rivers, يَعْنِي بِذَلِكَ الْأَنْهَارُ, rivers. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَصْنَافَهَا الْأَرْبَعَ فِي سُورَةِ الْقِتَالِ. And Allah has mentioned four different types of rivers in the surah called Surah Al-Qitan. Surah Al-Qitan. What's Surah Al-Qitan? You know? Surah Al-Qitan. Maybe it's a name that is, it's not the name in the Mus'haf, but it's a name customarily referred to a certain surah. Kawthar? No. Al-Qitan means the surah of fighting. Al-Fath? No. Yeah, Surah Al-Qitan. Al-Ahzab, you mean? Al-Ahzab, you're saying Confederates? Al-Ahzab? There's lots of fighting in that surah, lots of orders to fight. Huh? Also in Tawbah, in Anfal, these are surahs that have a lot of rulings pertaining to military operations and admonitions for the military. Jihad. This one's called Surah Al-Qitan. Anyone know it? No one knows it? Surah Al-Qitan. It's Surah Muhammad. It's the surah also called Surah Muhammad. Right? Why is it called Surah Muhammad? You read from the very beginning of the surah, you'll find admonitions to fight and to be stern in that fighting. And those admonitions in the Quran, to be stern about fighting, right? Those admonitions are for who? The everyday Muslim or the military? The military, ahsan. As we say, and we keep repeating all of the time, you don't take an ayah of the Quran that's for a specific situation, that is an admonition for the Muslim military. When it's time to fight, there's an encouragement to fight. There are verses that make the members of the military bold and courageous when they hear these verses. And that's for a time and a place. We read it and we understand what it's for. Right? And we don't say this is the manhaj, this is the approach of every Muslim. When he hears this order from Allah, he has to respond without thinking of the place or the time. Or is that where Allah wants that order implemented? Right? So we read those verses and we appreciate them for what they're for, but we do not apply them outside of the intended place of application. That which was intended by Rabbul Alameen. So our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the example of how to implement those verses, encouraging us to be rough and to be stern in battle. It doesn't mean that we go and start attacking non-Muslims. Right? But is when we are in the Muslim military, engaged in conflict, then we take those verses as admonitions and we apply them at that time. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wat at-tammah wa salat al-qa'imah ati Muhammadin al-fadilah wa nasilah wa ba'adhu maqamin mahkudin al-dajjah. So, Surah Al-Qital is another nickname for Surah Muhammad. And the more common name is Surah Muhammad, that which is printed in the Mus'hafs. But there are many surahs that have multiple names. Names, some of them that were known to the Sahaba, Surah Bara'a, Surah At-Tawbah, and so on, Surah Al-Hamd, and Surah Al-Fatiha. So in the beginning of Surah Al-Qitan, فَإِذَا لَقِيتُمْ أَلَذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَضَرْبَ الرِّقَابِ حَتَّى أَثْخَنْتُمُوهُمْ فَشُدُّ الْوَثَاقِ, and so on. Very, very severe, harsh orders to continue in battle and to employ sternness in battle, right? Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Again, the place of that admonition is when and where it is the Muslim military benefited at that time. How can we say this? Is this an escape? We need to be very clear about how we understand the Quran and how we pass on this understanding so that people don't say, oh, we're just taking verses of a book of terrorism and just trying to explain them away so that we don't be seen as people of terrorism, right? So we're just explaining away the verses that order us to fight and kill. And we're really ordered to fight and kill indiscriminately, but we're trying to explain them away. So how do we know that what we're doing is direct Sufi understanding? Naam, ya Pastor. Beautiful. Here's the great understanding, the best understanding to put everything like this in its proper perspective. The Qur'an is a complete book of guidance for all of mankind, unlike the books of today. Where a book of today is fiction or non-fiction. If it's non-fiction, it's a biography of a person. And so it's focused on one subject like that. That's modern-day authorship. The Qur'an is not like that. From beginning to end, the themes change, the subject matter changes, the benefits are versatile, and they affect different parts of our life. They affect different people. Certain verses are to be applied by certain people in certain situations. Certain verses are general for everyone to apply all the time. Right? And this is all understood from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, we would say when the Messenger came and he tried to enter Mecca and he was prevented and he signed a peace treaty with the disbelievers, then we would say he was disobedient to Allah's order to fight and kill. Rather, the order to fight and kill is for when you are engaged in combat under the Muslim military in that proper understanding. And we push it back on the critics of Islam who try to make these verses apply to everyday situations. And that's why so many Muslims commit atrocities and so on. They try to blame the Qur'an when it's a misunderstanding of the Qur'an. We say, you yourselves, ayyuhal kuffar, you disbelievers, you have military handbooks. You have your system of guidance. It's just divided into different books in different places. You have a military handbook that instructs a military, like a sergeant or a troop, a leader of some troops, on how to tell them to kill and to fight. You have guidelines for that, right? What's that? They have a whole college. There you go. Okay. They have basic training. They have, the whole point is they have handbooks and they have writings and they have guidance for how you are to take these normal people and turn them into killing machines, right? And teach them to kill and spill blood and all of that. Because that's, at a certain time, that is required. And we say, to be fair to the whole world, every country has a right to a military. And anyone who wants to be fair can say that with us. Every state, every recognized nation has the right to a military, to protect its borders and to establish peace, and to be used when needed. And nobody can come and say, no, there should be no military in any country. No, country shouldn't have a military. They should release their navy, army, all of that. Rather, every country will recognize that that's the right of an existing country to have a military, and no one says otherwise. So why do you come to Islam, and Islam gives us a whole system of governmental laws and regulations, and in those laws and regulations, you have these encouragements that I wouldn't say resemble, but they have the same topic as the handbooks in your military books, and the ethics codes in your universities, and the medical practices that are in your medical books, and the political systems that are in your books of politics. All of those have their foundations of pure, correct guidance in the Qur'an. And each page or each passage of the Qur'an has its appropriate place and time to be practiced, or each one of them may have its appropriate place, or it may be general, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. Tayyib. So to finish here, anharun in Surah Al-Qital, Surah what? Muhammad. Anharun min ma'in ghayri atin. Rivers of water that have not changed. The smell of the water has not changed. Meaning that the water is not old, nor is it corrupted by any pollutant. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ لَبَنٍ لَمْ يَتَغَيِّرْ طَعْمُهُمْ. And rivers of what? Milk. The taste of which has not been spoiled. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ خَمْرٍ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ. And rivers of khamr, right? Intoxicants, alcohol, wine, or intoxicating drinks. لَذَّةٍ, but in the hereafter, what we know as intoxication, and the negative effects, we don't have that in the hereafter. That is delicious for those who drink it. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ عَصَرٍ مُصَفَّى. And rivers of honey, purified honey. Honey that doesn't have any residue or anything other than pure honey. أَمَّا الْمَكَانِ. That is the description of the place. أَمَّا الْمَكَانِ. Where is this specific place? فِي مَقْعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ. In a station or in a place of sitting of sidq, of honesty, near Malikin, Muqtadir, near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the king, who is all capable. يعني في مقعد صدق ليس فيه كذب ولا في الخبر عنه لا في الخبر عنه ولا في وصفه. In a sitting of honesty that has no lying in it as it relates to the descriptions of it or what is reported about it. كله حق وعند من, all of it is truth, and with who, and in proximity of who, or with who, عند مليك مقتدر, with the king, the all-capable مليك, owner and king. وهو الله جل وعلا, and he is Allah, the mighty and most high. اللهم جعلنا منهم, may Allah make us from them. Ameen. عند مليك مقتدر, with the king who is all-capable, يتناعمون بلذة النظر إلى الله عز وجل. They bask and they enjoy the delight of seeing Allah, the mighty and majestic. وَهُوَ أَنْعَمُ مَا يَكُونُ لِأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. And it is the most rewarding or the most delightful reward for the people of paradise. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً. For the people who do righteousness, they will have al-husna, that is the reward of the abode of paradise. وَزِيَادَةً. And they will have an increase. That increase is what? Isa? What's that increase that the believers get? Huh?
Whatever they want.
In our Aqidah classes, there were four verses of the Quran that established something. This is one of the verses that establish a very special reward in the hereafter. The ziyadah, that extra reward that you get after being entered into paradise. Do you recall it? Seeing Allah. Sense. Barakallahu feek. Aywa. Ziyada. Al-husna al-jannah. The word husna means the beautiful or the nice, fine reward. It means the paradise. وَزِيَادَةُ النَّظْرُ إِلَى وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. And the ziyada, that additional reward, is looking at the face of Allah. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاضِرَةٌ. And Allah says, there are some faces on that day that will be beautiful, that will be gleaming. يَعْنِي حَسَنَةٌ بَهِيَّةٌ. يَعْنِي beautiful and gleaming. يَكْسُوهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى نَظْرًا. Allah Ta'ala dresses them up in beauty, the faces of His servants, subhanAllah. أَيْ حَسَنًا وَجَمَالًا وَبَهَاءً. With beauty, all types of beauty and glorification, or beauty and splendor. There you go. لِتَكُونَ. Why? لِتَكُونَ مُسْتَعِدَّةً لِلنَّظْرِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So they could be prepared in that state of beauty, faces of beauty, be prepared to look to the face of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرًا. To their Lord, looking. ثُمَّ, and that's from Surah Al-Qiyamah, right? ثُمَّ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَيَزْدَادُونَ حُسْنًا. Then when they look to the face of Allah, they will be increased in beauty. إِلَى حُسْنِهِمْ فَيَزْدَادُونَ حُسْنًا إِلَى حُسْنِهِمْ. Beauty upon beauty, that these faces will become more beautiful after looking at Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah. وَلِهَذَا إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَى أَهْلِهِمْ. And thus, when they will go back to their families, قَالَ لَهُمْ أَهْلُوهُمْ إِنَّكُمْ ازْدَدْتُمْ بَعْدَنَا حُسْنًا بِالنَّظْرِ إِلَى وَجْهِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى. They will say, verily you have become even more beautiful. You have increased in beauty after looking at the face of Allah, the Blessed and Most High, as reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. اللهم إنا نسألك بأسمائك الحسنى وصفاتك العلى أن تجعلنا من هؤلاء بمنك وكرمك إنك على كل شيء قدير. Oh Allah, we ask you by your names, your beautiful names, and your high, elevated attributes, that you make us from these people by your grace and by your honor, and you are above all things with capability. And this is the end of our reading from the tafsir of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen of the tafsir of Surah Al-Qamar. With this, we're going to establish Salat al-Isha here in Masjid al-Awwal. And inshallah, next week, we'll begin with the beautiful Surah, Surah Ar-Rahman. Inshallah ta'ala. Hada wallahu a'lam. Salli Allahumma wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.